Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Father, we ask that you would keep your promise this morning that when your word goes forth, it will not return void to you, but will accomplish that for which you sent it forth. Grant it in each of our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Our lesson for this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. If you have a habit of memorizing scripture, you probably have these verses memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I wish I'd known this passage when I was back in the sixth or seventh grade, and my mom said to me something like, God's given you a brain, why don't you use it? And I could have said, well, he says, lean not on your own understanding. And that brings up a point, doesn't it? If God has given us a mind and expects us, obviously, to use it or he wouldn't have given it to us, then what does he mean when he says, lean not on your own understanding? And the key there is the word lean. So to lean on something, right, is kind of like what we heard in yesterday's message about sitting in the chair or getting yourself hooked up and hanging from the zip line, right? That leaning on something means that you're trusting it, doesn't it? You're trusting it to hold you up when you lean on it. And he says, lean not on your own understanding. Now, first, let's talk about what he doesn't mean when he says that, okay? He's not saying this, that when you go to your class and you sit down to take an exam and you look at the first question and you have no clue what the answer is, that you bow your head and you say, Lord, I'm looking at a question, and if I lean on my own understanding, I'm going to get it wrong. So I'll just wait until you give me the answer, and then I'll write it down. That's not what he means, right? Because he's already given you the answer. He gave it to you in the lecture and in the textbook and in the resources that you have, right? He's given you the answer. Now, it's up to you to remember it, I suppose, but he's given it to you. No, that's not what he's talking about. These are proverbs. And so what he's talking about is life. He's talking about the connection between our life as we live it day by day and our spiritual life as we live day by day. And there's a connection there, and that's what he's getting at when he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Why would he say that, to lean not on your own understanding? Well, it's because we cannot see life as it really is. We see pieces of it. We get glimpses of it. But that's all we see. We have a past that we sort of remember, and we have a future that we cannot see at all, and then we have the present, and oftentimes, even our understanding of the present is only partial at best. Sometimes it is completely wrong. What does the New Testament say? What does God say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? He says, we see through a glass dimly. Because we see through a glass dimly, how can we hope to resolve the issues that come before us day by day? How can we hope to solve those issues at all when we only see dimly? Lean not on your own understanding, he says. So let's think about this a little bit more for a minute, shall we? What is the first thing that pops into your mind when an obstacle is in your path? When life is hard, what is it that comes into your mind when trouble comes your way, when trials come your way? I'll tell you what my first thoughts are. My first thoughts are, how can I get rid of these problems as quick as I can? That right? That's what I'm thinking. How can I get comfortable again? How can I feel better again? That's what I'm thinking. I want to get rid of these issues just as quickly as I can. But that may not be what God is thinking at all. Right? God's goal may not be to remove the issue as quickly as he can. In Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us what God's goal is. His goal is to conform us into the likeness of his Son. That's what his goal is. And it may be that he's got a plan to use that issue to do that very thing so that he can, in conjunction with the issues we face in life and the promises in his word, conform us to the image of his Son. And so when trials and troubles come your way, don't lean on your understanding. Rather, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what he is saying. Put your confidence in him. He knows what he's doing, right? He says all things work together, does he not, for the good of those who are called according to his purpose? Now, that's what he says. Believe it. Now, then our lesson goes on to say this: in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. What does it mean to acknowledge him in all your ways? Well, one Bible scholar said it this way, and I like this. He said, be ever mindful of God and serve him with a willing and faithful heart. I really like that. Be ever mindful of him as you're walking day by day through life. Be mindful of him, right? All your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths, or he shall make your paths straight. I really like that translation better. He will make your paths straight. What is it that makes you walk crooked, right? If you're walking through the woods, you know what'll make you walk crooked is when you come upon a tree right in your way. You've got to swerve and go around it, don't you? When you come upon an obstacle, that's what makes you turn and go a different direction, right? When you come upon an obstacle, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, right? That's what he is saying here. It is obstacles that make us walk out of our way. And God is saying that when we are mindful of him, trusting in him, leaning not on our own understanding, but leaning on him with all our weight, then you can trust him to remove the obstacle in his time and in his way. Now, all of this would be empty, wouldn't it? All of these would just be empty words if you couldn't really trust God to keep his promises. But is there anybody who is more trustworthy than God Almighty? How do you know he's trustworthy? Well, you know in a lot of ways. Maybe you've trusted him before and found out from practical application that he is trustworthy. But we know from his word. His word says it's impossible for God to tell a lie. And then, of course, we also know from his actions that he's trustworthy, right? Because he sent his own son for you. So he made that promise way, way back, right? Back in the days of Adam and Eve even already. He made that promise that he would send a Savior to bruise the serpent's head, right? Or crush the serpent's head. And he did it. Jesus came down and he lived in your place and my place too. But see, when he was living in my place, he didn't live the way that I live. The way that I live is to read God's promises and go to him in prayer and then wonder if he's really going to answer sometimes, right? Do you ever do that? You pray your prayers, but you doubt that it's going to come true. I've done that many times. That's not the way Jesus was. He perfectly trusted his Father. He perfectly lived as my substitute and your substitute and all the things that we're supposed to do. He did. And then that righteousness he traded for my sin. He traded it for your sin. And he gave you that righteousness. And then he carried your sin onto the mountain where he died for it on the cross. And he washed it all away so that there is no sin on your record. None at all. Now, what else does he have to do to prove that he will, when you repose your trust in him, keep his promises? I say he doesn't have to do anything more. He has shown that he will do it. He will make your path straight. He will take you home to be with him in heaven. So trust him. Rest in him. And the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.